dancing through the world alone lately. We've been trying just to make it through everything. I feel so out of place, feel so out of place right here.
Good morning, good evening, and good day to everyone out there listening to me on this fine day. My name is Ryan Silver, and I'm coming to you with my podcast, Canning Shame. Today, I am coming to you with an insight into gaslighting and how to run the other way from it. Most, if not all of us, have met a gaslighter, had their own experiences with one, be it limited or to a huge extent. Either way, it leaves you with a burn. First, I'm going to give you an insight of my past few weeks. I tell you what, it has been full on. Lordy, lord, lord, lord. I have had a few weeks between technology, basic stupidness on my behalf, and technology. I'm going to throw technology in there again. It has been a nightmare. I lost my entire system. My hard drives failed to work. Everything went corrupted. Had to get myself a new computer. Turns out the software in that computer was completely corrupt. So after 6 hours on the phone, getting escalated within the Apple department, I finally got someone who just went, you know what, we're just going to reinstall the entire software because there's clearly a corruption somewhere in there. And that's what happened. So that took 4 hours for that to happen. Now I'm learning brand new software again because the stuff I was using on my other computer was pretty outdated and old since it's 11 years old. I have to say it works really, really well. But on top of that, I went away a few weeks ago to do a personal project in my photography. As I mentioned in earlier podcasts, I do art. So I spent a little bit of time traveling through the woods trying to find myself, taking loads and loads of pictures. And I basically got pretty much out of control. So my 5 minute video, well, it's now a 5 minute video, should I say. It was only going to be a few slides, and now it's a 5 minute video with a full soundtrack. Yes, I've picked a song too. I picked it on the way back. You know, and I didn't do it by half. I traveled 4.5 hours away to live in the woods for a little while. It was comfortable. I had a great time. You know, I do worry though, are people going to really want to see this? Is it going to mean anything to them? You know what it's like when you go to relatives or friends and they want to show you the slides from their holidays and you just sit there glazing over and wishing there was more alcohol to get through this. Well, I'm starting to think that mine might be okay because mine has got a little bit the Blair Witch wannabe to it, you know. Dark and moody and light reflection. I don't know, maybe it was just me with the way I was feeling about it all, just getting away for those few days in the car, packing it up. I'm hoping that makes it a little bit more enjoyable to sit through. Anyway, let's get to it. Let's get to the podcast. After all my complaining of losing my software corrupting, oh, this is my third time recording this podcast, may I add. The first one vanished. It just vanished. I have absolutely no idea where it went. I don't know. Maybe it just couldn't be bothered with me and it's packed its bag and it's left the house. I have no idea what happened to it. The second one, didn't matter what I'd done, how many YouTube videos I followed and how to uncorrupt my recording. It just stayed completely corrupted. It was not wanting to play ball at all. Maybe I'd got a message from the one that ran away and decided that, you know, it was just going to follow suit but do it hardball by hurting me badly. And it really did hurt. Nobody, everybody avoided the study when they realised that there was a technical problem. So that was another few hours out of my life I was never going to get back. So this time, so I sat down the other day to record it for the third time. And I realised that, yeah, my computer just wasn't having it. So I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to transfer it over to my other computer. That'll be easy, won't it? So I tried to download the software and it just went, eh. Computer says, no. So that was it. Auntie Apple, sitting there, five assistants later, got escalated to somebody as high as you could possibly get. And everything on their side looked fine. Everything on my side looked fine, but they weren't talking to each other. So I ended up with brand new software. It's so up to date. It's so good. So it's kind of a good thing, really, at the end of the day. So then this morning I thought, do I have it in me to sit down and do this podcast? I decided, yes, I'm going to do it. And I have this rather mucky looking water with me. Really, it is disgustingly brown. It looks like there's maybe a damage from a tap, but it's not. It's actually it's for fitness. It's full of vitamins and what's that stuff we call it? Hydrolytes. It's meant to be blue raspberry. Now, I've had blue raspberry slushies. Who's had them? Seriously, they were the best flavor. It was not this mucky, brown, dirty water color. It really wasn't. It doesn't even really taste much of blue raspberry, but it's not bad, actually. It's going down. It lasts in your lips a long time. Trust me, every time you lick your lips, you're still getting a taste of it hours and hours later, so it hangs around. Anyway, let's get into the show. My quote for today is, "Birds sing after a storm. Why shouldn't people feel as free to delight in whatever sunlight remains in them?" And that comes to you from Rose Kennedy. So hi, I am Rye Silver, as I've already told you that, and went on my rant about my technology and my trip. I am a 20-year veteran of forensic behavioural criminology. However, I have not only studied criminals, insecurities and behaviour, I've also lived well within all of it. Well within what we call, sum it all up, shame. Oh yes, I have. Shame is an emotion that no one wants to feel at any time. In fact, we go out of our way to avoid situations that we perceive as shame-inducing. However, shame is something that we carry within us all the time. Yes, all of us. No one is exempt here, even me. Shame is an insecurity we hold about ourselves and within ourselves about something that we see as shame-inducing. If we didn't, we wouldn't have so many podcasts and we wouldn't have so many issues going on, you know, body shaming, hair color shaming, skin color shaming, all these kind of things. Everything. It's just bad. We all have these insecurities and we all have these people that like to make us feel bad about things. It's how the world takes over. This is where our behavior can have a huge impact on what that shame does to us, though. How we're going to take it on the chin and how we're going to re-educate those people that throw it in our face. Now, what does a forensic behavioral criminologist do, I hear you ask? Well, I study criminal behavior. I attended fatality scenes, interviewed perpetrators, and performed autopsies. I was in the grit of it up to my elbows, from a profiler to the one performing the actual autopsies to identify the cause of death. There isn't really anything I haven't seen when it comes to what we can do to each other and ourselves. So not much shocks me now, but I still get really, really, really pissed off at the injustice, stupidity and ignorance of some people. I wasn't always about crime though. I was a content wife, mother and a working artist, hence the photographs. The exact point my career became crime and behaviour focused is when my son Connor was killed. There was a lot of focus around his death and complication because it became political. It wasn't someone random or someone close to him. It was someone in a trusted position, and politicians used this to their own agenda. That is my catalyst to who I am today. Now, if you are enjoying my podcast so far, please hit that subscribe button to keep up to date on news and future episodes. And hopefully they are a bit more regular now that I've got the system properly up and running. Thank you very much to my amazing assistant at Apple for getting that done for me. As I said, we are talking about gaslighting today. It has become an extremely popular term of late, don't you think? Isn't that a fantastic buzzword these days to use? Gaslighter, gaslighting, I was gaslit. So what is gaslighting? I'm sure there's not one person out there has not heard the term gaslighting or used it or accused someone of it. it gets flung around. Like, there's no tomorrow. It's the buzzword. But simply put, gaslighting is making someone question their own reality. I'm not talking about the acid trip that has you loving your hand aura or fearing the pterodactyls coming to get you. It is the slow, systematic approach to sending someone out of their mind. Who's been there? Come on, raise your hands. We have all met one gaslighter, or if really unlucky, more. My hand is hitting the ceiling because I have met my fair share, and it makes me exhausted and really pissed off. The idea that gaslighting starts at a certain point in a relationship is complete and utter shite. It starts before the gaslighter has even interacted with you. They have worked out their approach with you to make sure their intentions work. It is pre-planned, it's motivated, calculated, and completely with intent. You have come to their attention, see, I'm getting all tongue twisted now, before you even know it. And they have watched you, studied you, and worked out what they want from you. The term gaslighter sounds amusing to throw around, and with innocence and naivety, it is. But once you have encountered it and broken away successfully, it is no longer funny or amusing. It will have changed you. Changed your entire DNA on who and what you are and know of yourself. According to Oxford, the definition of gaslighting is manipulate someone by psychological means into doubting their own sanity. Now, in the world of psychology, the definition is basically the same, but we deem the act of gaslighting as insidious. The basics of human nature are our feelings, psychology, and behavior. So it is believed. But human nature as a tangible construct is elusive to the world of philosophers, psychologists, and students of matter. We as humans are a construct based on ideals of man, molded to fit into the ideals of bringing groups together, being society, another construct. A construct based on encoding similar to same ideals into a closed group of people with the foresaid intention to maintain harmony and reduce crime. In other words, maintain order and allow rules to be followed without pushback and resistance. It is the basic foundations of all societies, be it Western, Eastern, cults and religions. Traditions, rules of law, and expected equilibrium is mandated and will be followed up with punishment if not adhered to in the manner another human sees as fitting to their own personal ideals. That's the main issue with man watching over man. The rules of law and social standards may be set, but that doesn't mean that our own personal interpretation of these won't warp the actual expectations intended. Environment, parental conditioning, cultures, beliefs, religions, traditions, and personal experiences form a personal interpretation of what one reads, hears, and sees. So how can man be trusted with the power of maintaining man? Deep, right? It's so deep. It really is. It certainly is. That is what gaslighting is. It is stripping everything back to the inner core, to the construct. It reconstructs, it puts you in the matrix. Now, I watched the movie that coined the term gaslighting the other night. Well, when I say the other night, I mean the other week. I did write this up weeks ago. It's been taking so long to get this out. Anyway, I'll never forget this movie. A 1944 movie adapted from the 1938 play by British playwright Patrick Hamilton, aptly named Gaslight. I thought I would do this in style and ran myself a nice bubble bath with incense and candles. You know, complete luxury. I had issues getting the film with it being so old, but I did still manage to get it. But I had to go old school. I had to go onto the desktop, go onto their website, find the movie, apply to watch it, pay my $4.99, and then it was uploaded onto my app by the company, and I was then able to climb in the bath and watch it. So I was all set up in my bath, ready to press play. It was really cold outside that day, so a hot bubble bath felt great. But I tell you, I wasn't far into the movie when it started to trigger me. It was intense from start to end. The point in the movie that I posted on my Instagram was when I had to pause it, get out of the bath in the cold, yes, and head out and get myself a drink. And I mean a stiff drink. I popped up my beer to watch the rest of the movie. The movie for its time is a very insightful and accurate depiction of abusive relationships. For a playwright, he nailed the psychological aspects of abuse without letting up. The actors, Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyart, are incredible talents. They didn't waver in their antagonist and victim depictions at all. I really hope their mental health was okay after making this movie, because it was triggering. I had my daughter watch it with me the following day. She was exhausted after it. Her only comment was, it was a giant red flag from start to end. She had to actually pause it as well and head to the fridge and get comfort treats. The main point is, it's pure trauma. The other thing we loved about this movie was it was based in London. Good old London. I lived there for a bit and have such fond memories of the place. I really want to go back once the world settled back down again, of course. Another movie I watched the other night was Fall from Grace, made in 2020 by Tyler Perry. It's on Netflix to stream if everybody wants to watch it. It was a lot easier to get hold of. To be honest, I've actually watched this movie quite a few times. It was linked for Just Mercy and this popped up and I thought, yeah, it's a good movie to melt away in. Now, I have just come aware of the brandishing that this movie took by the critics. I watched it when it came out and many times after. I like it. The boss is an ass and did not realise that that was Tyler Perry, the director. However, I seen it in a different way than the reviews I read. What I saw was an updated version of Gaslight. As a behavioralist, I saw the plight of women and that the enemy isn't men alone, it is also other women. A big deal made was that it was shot in 5 days. So, what's the problem with that? Who cares? If it gets to the point and the story comes across, it could take a day for all I care. Some movies have taken 9 months to film and fell flat on their face. That's just the way it works. What we had here was a woman waiting, studying and learning of what and how to take advantage of another woman. She waited as a friend for 6 years to get the opening she needed to get her friend where she wanted her. Her friend, a bank manager, owned outright her own house and clearly financially comfortable, was an ideal target for this vulture. They had a script on how it works and they played it well. That was evident with all the other women locked in the basement. I found some reviews, if not most, devoid of empathy. Empathy for the woman. It was more disdain and hindrance and hindered emotions they expressed. As if this doesn't happen, or that it happens and I don't need to see it, or they are just not seeing it at all, or they're overseeing it. They have become desensitized to such social issues. But I felt that they just really truly lacked empathy. Also, a little concerned. Concerning the idea that the reviewers may actually believe that this is ridiculous to think that such things happen. I think it's ridiculous to think that 300 people fly around space in the Enterprise, but I still love Star Trek. Difference is the situation in Fall from Grace happens, and far too often. Another thing the reviewers pointed out is that there is no body, so how can she be offered a plea or be convicted? Well, the point is the character's backstory. She wouldn't hurt a fly, or a spider for that matter, baked cookies, goes to the church and is a participating, socially conscious person that was systematically broken down to her basic core. So of course, because she was broken, she confessed. She was a broken, honest soul. And in law, get over the movies, law is a nasty place. That confessions outweigh evidence. Watch Making a Murderer. watch a lot of the movies out there. In fact, we've just put away Chris Dawson and we've never found his wife. There's no body, but he's away at jail for life. This happens. Another thing that they refuse head on was race. What I saw was amazing women portraying a terrible social issue. Gaslighting is racially devoid. It does not care. It happens in all cultures and races. It is a human thing. Why does a movie with black leads or predominantly black cast have to be a racial stand? Can't it just be great actresses doing great acting? A movie as a movie? I was aware of the white judge, white prosecutor and white court security and did think she's gone down with or without a confession if it's up to the arses, while my daughter's yelling at the TV, there's no body! That situation clearly wasn't by accident. But by removing that, remember, the mother and son, nasty duo, are also black, attacking black women. So overall, what I saw was a psychological movie, like Psycho and Gaslight, a social issue movie, a movie that brings to the forefront the issues that we have in society through gaslighting. It's not about race, it's about great actors portraying a terrible social issue. On a quick note, the reviewer that commented on Gracie's hair in court, saying, why didn't she brush her hair? Let me think here. Let me clear my throat for this one. Are you fucking kidding me? She's in court for murder. She's a broken soul. She was systematically being broken to her core months prior to her arrest. She is in jail, pleading guilty, going to jail for the rest of her life. I think she has a lot more to worry about than how pretty she is. And anyway, her hair looked brushed to me, you ask. I will point out, this reviewer did call the nasty husband as a younger hunk of a man. Yes, says enough to me. Says everything about that reviewer. Also, the plot was not ludicrous. It happens. Wake up. I don't know, read the room. Look at the social news that's going on. Let's look at what's happened to Britney Spears. It's happening. Okay, my rant's over. Back to Gaslighting. You know, though, it just boils me up when people are so devoid of empathy and understanding of social issues, but will rave on with pure excitement over fictional situations like Star Trek. They will pull a social issue apart by talking about physical appearance, her hair, his hunkiness. It is deflecting from the real point, the real issue. And it is comments like this that give gaslighting power. The power of gaslighting is the power it has over reality. We all know if you turn down the lights, your vision becomes limited and your other senses rise up to allow your imagination to take control and run riot. Who has read or seen the allegory of the cave by Plato? It is about the effect the lack of education would have on our nature, on society. There is a great adaptation done with clay on YouTube. If you haven't seen it, I recommend you watch it. It's only 3 minutes long and it's really concise, gets to the point, you don't need to read the book. It is about how shadows and sounds do not give you a real idea of what is actually happening and what something actually is. This is why it is called gaslighting. Turn the gas down and the lights dim to the point that it is only shadows and sound. The gaslighter can now influence you to what they are and change your understanding and reality to meet their own agenda. That's power. A little bit of history, just to give you an idea of what real gaslight is. The gaslight was created by Scottish inventor, I'm so proud, William Murdoch in 1792. The use of coal gas combined with oxygen through pipes into your home gave us gaslight and became the coined word for psychological abuse from 1938 due to its ability to be controlled externally from the controller. Gaslighting changed society and social behaviour. After it was installed into the streets, it opened the door to socialising after dark. It took away the reason to shut yourself away once darkness fell. So they weren't so scared of Jack the Ripper anymore because they had gaslights. Except when the dim, the shadows appear. It wasn't till the late 1980s that the term gaslighting started to appear in psychological journals. It was now an official societal problem. Gaslighting was linked to hysteria, so was thought to be predominantly a female issue. It was considered a gender power dynamic. I actually read a book about this. Now, where is it? I do have it here. Yes. I read Dora, an analysis of a case of hysteria by Sigmund Freud. Now, if you want to read trauma and be triggered, read this book. This book looks like it could take you 2 hours to read. It took me 2 weeks because I could only read 2 pages at a time without getting myself so infuriated and wound up. You know, Dora, which is an alias, that's not her real name. This guy was Sigmund Freud, was a psychologist, and he psychoanalyzed Dora after her father sent her to him after she claimed that she had been sexually assaulted on a couple of occasions by a family friend. This book, and as I say, it's a case study, and he has basically labeled her hysterical, is basically Freud gaslighting this girl. It was horrendous to read. It was horrifying to read. It was gaslighting in its primal form by a professional on his patient. Unfortunately enough, she was strong enough to withstand it, so she never finished her treatment with him. She actually fought back and she argued back and she left. But one thing I will point out about this book is that Sigmund Freud, through his, you know, like personal little inputs into the book, out with the case, I felt really, really, really pushed to impose his ideals onto her behavior. It wasn't natural. I felt like I was getting gaslit through reading this book. I felt like he was trying to trick me into believing him over her. It was horrifying. It was actually quite a horrifying read. And actually, so much so, I actually decided to sign up for the Freudian School of Melbourne in Australia. So they had their, annual conference, I think they call it, this year. And I went to that on Saturday, 4 hours later. It was very interesting. I had 4 people who read their papers who they've specially written for this day. They were interesting to read, but I realized how they all really truly love Sigmund Freud. Now, I know he's been debunked over the years, but what I'm starting to realize is that I think what's been happening is people have been pulling the bits that make sense and kind of forgetting about this book, this kind of stuff that he'd done, and his psychoanalyst stuff on sexual behavior and unconsciousness. Now, the last talk that happened on Saturday, the last paper that was read, now his was about the flowering of love, and there was a lot of mention of unconsciousness by Freud. Now, it gave me an idea for my next podcast, so stay in touch, because my next podcast, I am actually going to talk about love and what comes with love, vulnerability, shame and uncertainty and gender bias. So let's talk about love and the knowledge of love on my next podcast. So I'm not going to go into it now, but just know that this book was 100% Freud gaslighting this poor girl. Now, where was I? Yes, as I was saying, the term, with its popularity, has become another victim to misuse, as in a misunderstanding of what gaslighting is. It is tagged to anyone that feels hard done by. No, that's not gaslighting. The key point about gaslighting is another's power over your own reality. Other emotional abuses are being confused with gaslighting. If someone is made to feel something is their fault, deflecting the blame from the actual one that is to blame, this is not gaslighting. It is another dysfunctional behavior, another one that you should still run away screaming from as fast as you can, seriously. But it's not gaslighting. It's still emotional abuse. At times, it is really hard to identify a gaslighter. The most proficient gaslighters are undetectable. The best and only way to really identify if someone is a gaslighter is through the actions and mental state of their victims. If they start to act out of character and seem to be systematically losing their grip on reality and have a fear that you haven't witnessed in them before, then you're dealing with a gaslighter and they are the victims. See, that's the difference between another type of dysfunctional behavior and gaslighting. You don't really spot the gaslighters. No one goes out saying, I'm going to be a gaslighter. That's my career choice. I'm going to take people down and I'm going to watch the drawn out process in delight with my popcorn. Yes, they do get delight from it, but being a gaslighter comes from a predisposition, a personality disorder such as narcissism and psychopathy. Gaslighting isn't a core trait of these disorders, but can come with them. They will manipulate the sanity out of someone while manipulating the world into the belief they are an awesome person. Who hasn't been there? I know I have. The unfortunate fact is that there is far too many of them to successfully avoid being caught in their web. Being two-faced, one being horrid to their victim and the other saintly to the world, holds the victims back from reaching out for help. Who would believe them? That is actually the sad fact. Now, I went to the Chris Rock tour just the other week. It was a great night. Maybe if not for ones that walked out in disdain and disapproval. Being in the front row, I got the bird given to me on two occasions by offended patrons. Yes, seriously, I did. But seriously, he wasn't there to do Madagascar. It was Chris Rock. He isn't an altar boy. They obviously felt triggered. But if they waited, they would have heard the moral behind his story. It wasn't what they thought. I think drink was an issue too. They were a bit worse for wear. Walking out after paying front row prizes was the most horrifying part for me. Not the bird or the joke. He was talking about the keeping of receipts. In a different context, this was get consent and keep the receipt. Just to be clear, he was pro Me Too movement. That's what the walkers out would have learned if they had just stayed another 2 minutes. The keep the receipts is a good idea. In the case of gaslighting, keep all texts, messages, the lot. Obviously, it would be hard if the gaslighter goes through everything, but try. Please try. I still have my texts, messages, and emails from a gaslighter from 4 years ago. I will keep them till the day's end, which might not be far away with the way that the world's going with floods, fire, and storms, but at least I'll still have all my receipts. Now, gaslighters repeat their actions over several, if not all, of their relationships. This way, if I get any hit back from the new flavour, I will have my receipts rather than my empty words. The gaslighter will go on to the next stating that what they did to you, you actually done to them. Like emptying that bank account, maxing out your credit card, taking the dog that is actually yours. You would go out without telling them where and when you'd be back. You wouldn't cook for them. You were texting others. You were a secret and so on. The list runs like a New Testament. It would take years to compile and read through. It is a maze riddled with webs. Gaslighters are so proficient. They are fluid in their manipulation. But don't confuse manipulation with gaslighting. No. Manipulation is a common tactic. Any vacuum salesman that came to the door uses this to get into the door. Never mind the sale. Who remembers them? The Hoover guy that would come knocking, saying, "Have you heard the news, ma'am?" Is that just me? I really hope not. Oh my goodness, has it been that long? Actually, I heard a joke about a vacuum salesman the other day from my very, very good friend, Jodie. Now, don't jump up and down because I said men. They were men selling to women. And women sales came around the door selling makeup. It was a different time, okay? Doesn't make it bad, just makes it a different time. Different. We've all progressed. Anyway, the joke. A vacuum salesman knocks on a woman's door. She opens the door and he says, "Hello, ma'am. Have you heard the news? There is a new vacuum that will revolutionize your cleaning and cleaning time. It's not only vacuums, it washes at the same time." The woman invites the salesman in. He instantly goes into sales mode, complimenting her home, her cleaning standards, and how she must make her family very happy with such care and pride in her home. The woman, all proud of herself, lowering her suspicious defences, allows him to unpack and continue with his sales demonstration. He gets out a bag of horseshit, yes, horseshit, and smears it onto the carpet. He looks at the woman with his chest out, sure of himself and confident he has the sale in the bag. He says to the woman, "If I can't clean and vacuum this up with this incredible machine, I will buy you a new carpet today." The woman says, "I'll get my coat. The carpet shop is not far." The salesman says, "Ma'am, don't get ahead of yourself. You don't believe it won't work?" The woman says, "I know it won't work. The power was shut off yesterday." Boom, boom. I know, I do like that joke. Anyway, salespeople are just one manipulator. We all are in our own way. Kids manipulate their parents. Well, mine do. Well, mainly one. The other one, not as bad. Advertisers, food establishments, partners, and so on. But gaslighting is rarer and far more dangerous. They don't come with a tell. They are a perfect poker face 24/7. Now, come on, you know that advertisers are gaslighting you by saying, oh, this cream will get rid of the wrinkles in 20 days. You'll look 20 years younger. Food establishments. This McDonald's meal is going to fill that gap. You're just going to love it. It looks like this. Partners. Oh, honey, can you get me an ice cream, please? If you get me an ice cream, I'll rub your feet. You know, all that kind of thing. We all do it. Hoovering is a term in gaslighting. It is something that happens when you try to leave a gaslighter. The gaslighter will hoover up their actions by replacing them with over-the-top declarations of love, praise, and positive reinforcement of who you are. You as a human, take this on board and stay, thinking, they have seen the light, and it will be all change and it will be better. Not long after the dust has settled, the systematic dismantling of who you are starts again. You're better to just leave. Don't give notice. Just go for lunch and don't go back. Sounds inconsiderate, but are they considering you while destroying you? No. Nope. Never. So run. Just run. Don't look back. Change that number, email, and name if you have to, and don't let them change who you were prior to knowing them. This part is the hardest part. Gaslighters erode you of your ability to trust. It takes away your ability to see the basic good in people. You will only question their agenda. Worse than that, you will have stopped trusting yourself. That won't come back for a long, long time and will involve a lot of tripping, falling, tears, awkward situations and holding yourself back from your potential. It doesn't mean that the gaslighter was right about you. No, not at all. That fucker has just retrained you into this position and behaviour. It will take time to rewrite this fuck up. But you will get there by reintroducing yourself to old habits and new ones. It is a trial and error, and the light at the end of the tunnel will get warmer and clearer until you're fully back into it. The key is learning how to effectively cope with the emotional pain that comes after you have cut the cord, removed yourself from that matrix. It is going to come and will seem like it is your fault, but it ain't. Be assured, you're better off, and for those that tell you otherwise, are better off out your life too. Yes, people will distance themselves from you. Why? Because they know what happened and do believe you, but are stuck by what is referred to as a moral disengagement. A term coined by psychologist Bandura, they will try to rationalize what happened to you through their own ethical process system, resulting in them throwing the blame and leaving you to tend to yourself as they don't want to get involved. They don't have the mental process to comprehend such a situation can happen and rather not deal with that. These people are going to do more damage to your recovery than aid you. So let them go. Let them walk away, set them free. You don't need blame put on you for something you were a victim of. Just say goodbye. I'm starting afresh without your negative commentary. Thank you. I know. We are hardwired to belong, and rejection is painful. It bloody hurts. And once it happens, once or twice, you'll start to fear it and hold yourself back from being emotionally raw and honest with where you are right at that point. But I warn you, putting up that front will just build resentment in you. It will burn in you like lava. This inner pain will erode your ability to move on and renew you, rewire your head. It is better to be rejected than stuck in purgatory. Now, as I said earlier, keep the receipts. The emails, texts, and voicemails. Thank you, Chris Rock. I love that term. But also keep a journal if you can. While being gaslit, it is easy to lose the ability to find the words to explain what happened to you. This journal will keep the archives in your mind's eye straight and allow you to get the words out to be clear on what you suffered. If you could during, that would be great. Then after is just as rewarding for your mental clarity. It will allow you to get the incident or time down on physical terms, and you can break it down to the core, exposing the truth in the words you need. A huge one is speak to someone. No, not a friend or family or the person you sit beside on the train on the way to work, to a professional. It can take time to find one that you click with though. So don't settle for someone that makes you feel worse when you walk out at the end of the session. You want to feel unloaded, not blamed. Keep searching till you find that one, if you aren't lucky enough to find one on the first go. Mine was a shocker. Whatever I said to her, she would counteract with a self-declaration. You know, you think you had it tough. Well, I had this. That's that type. Not there to help others, just for the paycheck and job title. Job's worth. You're strong enough to walk away from a gaslighter. You're strong enough to walk away from a psychologist that doesn't fit you. Huge point coming in hard and fast here. You're not to blame. Don't forget that. Do you hear me? You're not to blame. The gaslighter is. You were just being a lovely, trusting, caring person, and they used that against you. It makes you human and good, not the problem. The gaslighter took a human's most vulnerable asset, your most valuable asset, empathy, the core of being a good, decent person, and used it as a tool for their own benefits and amusements. Don't allow them to continue winning long after they are history. Be your good person again. Remember, they chose you because you have empathy for others, because you're a good person. What you will now know and recognize in someone when trying to pick up on gaslighting is when they deny obvious true facts of what they said and done. They try to convince you that what you experienced isn't real and is fabricated. They dismiss your feelings as crazy. They criticize your facial behaviors and what you're saying. Withhold information or change the context. Now that's a big one. They spread rumors. Avoid the truth by changing the subject. They get aggressive with you in that they are criticizing you to help you. You are face to face with a gaslighter, and you will not invest another minute of your life with them. Listen to your inner voice. It will guide your inner emotions to the truth of what the fuck is actually going on. And it ain't you going crazy. It really isn't. You are not going crazy. You're being sent crazy. So trust your voice and leave. Now I'm going to finish off this week with a poem. I found this online and for some reason I can't find it again. So I can't say who wrote it. Really sorry about that. If anyone knows, send me a message and let me know. But I thought it was really apt for this episode. So here it is. As I said, unnamed, couldn't find it again. I'm really sorry about that. Just know I didn't write this. It's somebody else's talent. So here we go. I didn't hit you. You hit me. That was barely a slap. You hit me. You're crazy. You hit me. I'm sorry for my part in it. You hit me. You're always so dramatic. Don't be ridiculous. You hit me. I can't believe you are my daughter. I don't want to suffer any longer. That's exactly the way I feel. You are going to end up alone. Good. Well, I'm going to leave it there and say goodbye for another episode. I hope you have enjoyed this week's episode of Gaslighting. If there is any topics that you would like me to cover, please reach out and I'll see what I can do. I love hearing from you all. Clearly, there is a lot more I could go into and cover in each episode, but time is unlimited. I try to get the main points in there and hope it helps in some way to someone out there listening. As I said, next week I am going to be talking about love after my Freudian school seminar. And it's going to be a big one. So why don't you hit that subscribe button to keep up to date on its release. And thank you for listening. Be safe, be happy, and remember to self-hug. When the world shuts down, we can figure it out. Go on telling everybody that we'll stick around. In the longest night, I'll be by your side. Go on telling everybody that we'll be alright.
feet. I feel so out of place, feel so out of place right now. Shuts down.